Any day now, America's first offshore wind farm, Block Island Wind, will begin commercial operation. Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey says it'll tap into a vast new source of renewable energy right off the New England coast.
We are the Saudi Arabia of offshore wind for the planet. We have an unlimited potential to see this unfold.
The five-turbine Block Island Wind Farm will harvest just a modest amount of the region's offshore wind potential, but it could also be the start of a new industry and thousands of jobs. And coastal cities and companies in the region are betting Block Island Wind will give them a first-mover advantage. WBUR Bostonomics reporter Bruce Gellerman recently toured the nation's first offshore wind farm and has our story.
It's a gorgeous New England autumn day. Crisp, clear blue skies, calm seas, dockside at Quonset Point, Rhode Island.
We're going to get underway here shortly.
Enjoy the ride.
The captain of the high-speed ferry, Ava Pearl, powers up the catamaran's dual diesel turbo engines. We leave Narragansett Bay, picking up speed as we hit open water, and head to Block Island Sound, 15 miles south. It's a course that offshore wind advocates believe charts the way to the nation's renewable energy future. On board are passengers who might have rebelled just a decade earlier at setting sail together, but today they're enjoying bagels, pastries, coffee, and conversation.
Look, we need jobs, but more importantly, we need a clean environment.
Roy Coulomb is business manager of Local 37 Ironworkers, serving southern Massachusetts and Rhode Island.
We have children and grandchildren just like everybody else. We breathe the same air, drink the same water as everybody else.
This trip to the Block Island Wind Farm, paid for by the group Blue Green Alliance, brings blue-collar workers, green environmentalists, business, and elected officials together, sharing stories about the fruits of their eight-year labors to make the nation's first offshore wind farm possible. The $300 million project required the skills of 300 local workers, electricians, ocean divers, and nine union iron welders who built the steel structures on land.
And then we went out there and we did all the rigging on the water.
Good work?
Very good work.
What does it pay an hour?
Well, we're union guys, and our package is about $60 an hour, top benefits and wages and the whole bit.
Block Island Wind also got enthusiastic buy-in from environmental groups. Catherine Bowes of the National Wildlife Federation was on board singing the praises of the project.
What's exciting about offshore wind is that it can be an incredibly wildlife-friendly energy source if done right. And this project is an example of how you do it right, not only from the ocean planning process that selected the site, but also how the company went about the construction and making sure that the timing and the nature of the activities out on the water were not a threat to endangered right whales that frequent this area.
The wind picks up as we make slow figure eights around the turbine towers set half a mile apart. The site, 3 miles off the Block Island coast, was selected because the wind blows strong and steady here, precisely when it's needed the most, when electricity demand peaks in the late afternoon and early evening. But just try doing an interview in it. Matt Morrissey laughs and catches hold of me as I grab my hat and headphones. We go inside the ship's cabin where it's quiet and calm, but Morrissey, vice president of Deepwater Wind, which developed the Block Island farm, doesn't mind the gusting wind. For him, it means money.
This is the sound of capacity. In the Rhode Island, Massachusetts wind energy area, the wind is as strong as any wind resource anywhere in the world. This is truly a globally significant wind resource, which allows for this level of energy to be produced.
Block Island's offshore turbines will generate 30 megawatts of electricity. That's enough to serve more than 17,000 homes. 10% of the wind farm's output will be used to replace Block Island's diesel electric generators. The rest will flow by undersea cable to the Rhode Island coast and beyond into the region's electrical grid. These aren't quaint old world windmills. Each GE turbine generator weighs 400 tons and is the size of a school bus. From sea surface to horizontal blade tip, the towers are twice the height of the Statue of Liberty.
These turbines are approximately 600 feet tall, and the blade width represents a size that if you put the center on the second base of Fenway Park, the blaze would be overhanging all of the three walls of the stadium.
Building something this big and complex offshore in the open sea is expensive. That's why the price of electricity produced by Block Island Wind Farm will cost three times what National Grid charged Massachusetts customers last month. But Deepwater VP Matt Morrissey says changes in the air.
Just like any other technology, the cost of offshore wind will continue to come down and will likely be cost competitive with any new generation source in 10 years.
In the coming decade, Massachusetts will require utilities to buy 1,600 megawatts of electricity produced by offshore wind. That's more than 50 times Block Island's output, enough to power a third of the homes in the Commonwealth. And it will reduce planet warming carbon emissions equal to taking hundreds of thousands of cars off the road. To accomplish this, offshore wind developers are looking toward a more distant horizon. Deepwater Wind and two other developers have leased 750,000 acres of federal ocean 18 miles off Massachusetts coast, hoping to turn them into vast wind farms out of sight, but with money in mind.
Important to note, they go so far offshore that people can't see them at all.
Matt Morris, he says Deepwater Wind plans to install hundreds of turbines, far bigger, further at sea, to increase the power per tower.
It's going to happen, I believe. I believe it'll happen.
Labor leader Roy Coulomb says there are times when Denmark, the world's leader in offshore wind, produces so much electricity, the nation exports it.
If you look over to Europe, there's like well over 3,000 of these things in the water there, right? And they're building them now in Japan, China, South America. Until we get a bunch of these going, you know, it's going to be a little more expensive. But once we get a pipeline going, the prices will come down, get some manufacturing over here, and we'll be good.
Block Island marks a milestone. The nation is undergoing a clean energy transformation, and Massachusetts has been gearing up. One of the world's largest wind blade test facilities is in Charlestown. It was there, along Boston's waterfront, that U.S. Energy Secretary Ernie Moniz recently announced the National Offshore Wind Strategy.
In principle, we could generate roughly twice as much electricity as the country currently uses from offshore wind.
The Energy Department predicts by mid-century, offshore wind will also generate 160,000 new jobs. But the challenge will be finding enough skilled workers. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, wind turbine technician is the fastest growing occupation in the nation. Deepwater Wind's Matt Morrissey.
We will partner with community colleges, with vocational high schools, with companies like GE to develop training programs to train local workers to force the new industry in the United States to move forward.
And move here. General Electric has been on a buying spree to make the Boston-based industrial giant the world's offshore wind energy powerhouse. It bought a stake in the Block Island Wind Farm, acquiring some of the federal tax benefits and credits. It also paid $1.6 billion for a Danish company, the world's largest wind blade maker, and acquired a French energy and offshore wind company for $10 billion more. The future of wind is on the horizon, and New England communities are competing for a piece of the action.
We want in the long run to be seen as the center of green energy on the East Coast.
John Mitchell is mayor of New Bedford. It's home to the nation's largest commercial fishing fleet, and where developers of the more distant offshore wind farms plan to stage their projects.
Just because we've done a lot of work on this in the last few years doesn't guarantee success. We've got to be ready to compete against other cities. We've got to outsmart them. We've got to out-hustle them, and that's what we intend to do.
Though the winds could always change, the political, economic, and corporate interests are now aligned, at least for Block Island. Still, from the ports where ships once set sail in search of whale oil to satisfy the world's need for fuel, today there are hopes New England will begin the transformation of the nation's energy landscape into a vast, clean, renewable seascape. For 90.9 WBUR in Bostonomics, I'm Bruce Gellerman.